Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I am your host. Can't believe I left these suckers on. Why am I so out of focus right now? I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today, we've got a lot of big news coming at you. We've got a massive prisoner swap that's going to be taking place between Russia and Ukraine over the next 3 days. Hundreds have actually already been swapped. We also have the USA and Iran, for some reason, decided to meet up again to try their nuclear negotiations as if the Ayatollah is going to break down. The US is pretty firm in their position when it goes down to you're not going to be allowed to enrich uranium. And, well, Iran, they're sticking with their same old rhetoric. And what's worse is they're actually got caught bypassing US sanctions. Then we can go and we can talk about the Houthis down inside Yemen and how they haven't stopped firing ballistic missiles at Israel. Yesterday, they shot multiple and Israel ended up having to down them. Right. And we've got a total of like six ballistic missiles that ended up coming out of the Houthis. So what's the reaction going to be and how is that going to happen? Because the US is supposed to be holding Iran responsible, aren't we? It's like the Houthis are doing whatever they want. Well, remember that federal judge a couple months ago while we wait on folks to roll in here? You guys remember that? Oh, my goodness. You can't see me on that camera. Remember that federal judge a couple months ago that ended up getting caught ushering out Eduardo Flores Ruiz, hiding him from the ICE agents? Guess what? We've got new surveillance footage.
He meets his attorney in the hallway and walks towards Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan's courtroom. Along the way, he passes plainclothes federal agents who are sitting on a bench. They are there to detain him. After Flores Ruiz walks by, the agents turn to each other and appear to confirm his identity amongst themselves. But a few moments later, Judge Dugan and another judge approach the agents sitting on the bench. A criminal complaint against Dugan later said she was alerted to their presence by a court official.
Of course she was.
That complaint says during this interaction, Dugan and the agents disagreed over the type of warrant they had to arrest Flores Ruiz. According to the complaint, Dugan ordered the agents to go to the chief judge's office. Video shows her pointing them through a double door. She then turns back to speak with other agents further down the hall and orders them through the doors as well. Shortly after that, with the agents gone from the hallway, Eduardo Flores Ruiz and his attorney exit into the hallway through a different door. Mm-hmm. As they walk down the hall toward the elevators, they pass another plainclothes federal agent.
Weird.
Neither they nor Judge Dugan seem to have noticed at the time. That agent motions to another to follow Flores Ruiz. Security video shows Flores Ruiz exiting through a basement exit. Upstairs on the sixth floor, the other agents have left the chief judge's office and worked their way downstairs.
Oh, thank you, Daryl.
Flores left the building onto 9th Street. Videos of the street shows the agents catching up to him. Flores Ruiz runs across 10th Street while trying to get away, but the agents catch him and arrest him.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me see some hundreds down in the chat if you guys agree that that judge should have been arrested. If you agree, just drop those little freaking hundred symbols down inside the chat. I appreciate you guys. All right, we got Tristan Allen says, good morning, Matt. So my opinion, we should cancel all visa for the next year and send them all home. You want to cause crap, do it in your own country. Oh, brother, we have it like, you know, I covered it on last night's stream, but I'm going to actually talk about that again today. Like what's I'm assuming you're taking place of what's going on over in Harvard. So if you agree with what the Trump admin did over in Harvard, by all means, drop more hundreds down in the chat. If you don't know what he's talking about or what I'm talking about, all of the student visas ended up getting absolutely revoked. They ended up taking them and kicking them out. So everybody that's like currently a foreign student over inside Harvard has to now find a new college. This makes up, no kidding, about 25% of Harvard's freshman class. And it's scheduled right now to affect next year. They gave them, 72 hours to comply before they end up kicking them the hell out. So they got 72 hours to apply and provide all of the information that they want, which is basically anybody that's here in the United States or attending Harvard on a student visa program. If Harvard has information such as security footage, reports, incidents, police reports, of them taking part in any of these pro-Pali rallies to let them know. If they've taken part in any anti-Semitic activities, let them know. If there's any disciplinary actions with them, they need to let DHS know. But Harvard essentially refused to comply, even, and so, like, what was it, Christy Noem just turned around and was like, you know what? No more student visas for you. Shut them all off last night. Pissed a ton of people off because there's a lot of students now. They're going to have to find new homes. We're going to go over that here in a little bit. I've got the information on that for you guys. It wasn't really one of the things I was ready for. Yeah, dude, I can't deal with money laundering crap right now or anybody else. Over here inside the United States as well, one of the big deals that everybody allegedly is really happy about is we ended up slapping, no kidding, a 50% tariff on the EU. And when I say we, I mean the United States, specifically Donald Trump. I don't know how many of you guys are even fans of that. This one, I don't know about, man. It seems a bit much to be going after the EU with a freaking 50% tariff. But you can see it right up here on the screen. He says, I am recommending a straight 50% tariff on the EU starting on June 1. There is no tariff if the product is built or manufactured in the United States. Thanks for your attention on this matter. Why is he doing that? Because he's been trying to do trade negotiations with the EU and they've kind of stalled. He said they're powerful trade builders, VAT taxes, ridiculous corporate penalties, non-monetary trade, blah, 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 have led to a trade deficit with the US of more than $250 billion a year, a number which is totally unacceptable. So because of that, ended up slapping a 50% tariff on the EU. I, for some reason, don't think that's going to turn out too well. I think the EU is a little bit different than a lot of other countries. Well, the EU is not even technically a country, but I don't think it's going to turn out real well. If you guys are over in the EU and you think that your government, like that the EU is somehow going to collapse to this, let me know. If you're in the EU and you're worried about how that's going to affect your costs and your prices, because you guys already got a big enough problem over there, thanks to the Houthis and then also Russia and oil and the war in Ukraine, you guys got lots of other things going on, not to mention the UK and its like Islamic problem. That's a huge freaking deal. Also, kind of a cool special announcement that I didn't even realize that we'd be getting to today. Army's 250th birthday is scheduled to take place on June 14th this year. I had no idea. It is their 250th birthday for the United States Army. So, ladies and gentlemen, happy birthday to them. There's going to be a huge parade going on over in Washington, D.C. to commemorate the event. People also tied it to Trump's birthday and are assuming that this is all going on because of that. I don't think that's the case whatsoever. Tristan Allen coming in with 10. He says, I'm sick and tired of the far left agenda. Get them out of here. You are a guest and want to come here and stir up problems, which will 100% lead to our rights being taken away. People need to wake up. I agree with you. As long as we're not affecting Americans' free speech, like that's my biggest deal. You know, like I don't agree with the pro-Palestinian movement. Clearly, I don't. But as long as they are conducting it lawfully, I don't want that to affect other people. And so as we talk about revoking student visas and things like that, I'm perfectly on board with it. They do have, how do I want to say this? It is a privilege for them to be here, not a right. It is a privilege for the colleges to be able to allow those students on campus from other countries, not a right. And those student visas that they have, if they're taking part in violent protests, if they are, you know, conducting demonstrations, burning things down, causing property damage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's kind of a big problem. I looked into it, and one of the issues that I ended up seeing was, like I said, it was in the teens for the amount of protests, like anti-Israel or pro-Palestinian protests that have taken place on Harvard's campus. The one thing that I couldn't find any reports of was monetary damage. The only monetary damage for Harvard campus that I found for any of those protests was like damage to the grass. There was also only one incident which I could find to where like law enforcement actually responded and did anything at all. I do remember reporting last year and talking about this to where students at Harvard were like scared. They were like, it wasn't like they were just standing outside and screaming Free Palestine, right? They were literally denying entry to Jewish students and things of that nature. And it went widely unreported. It was really freaking like ridiculous, like shut down, the entranceways and things like that. They were screening if I remember right, there was faculty that was actually helping them out with it, which is one of the reasons why Christy Noem is so pissed. And so it wasn't that it was like, one of those overly violent ones, like we saw over at UCLA where people are throwing fireworks and doing all sorts of crap with each other. It was just racist crap. And believe it or not, yeah, you can call anti-Semitism racism depending on how you want to split hairs. But to me, racism, zero part in this country. We saw what happened with racism the other day over inside Washington, D.C., right? Like you had this beautiful couple that ended up getting murdered for what? Working in the embassy? right? And then probably one of the most frustrating things when it goes down to free speech, and we're going to talk about this in a sec. You know what? Hell with it. I think I'm about to get onto it. Let me give these shout outs real quick, and then I'm going to just rant for a second. Army Lurs coming in, gifting out 10 Speak the Truth memberships, followed by Patrick Loudon coming in, gifting out an additional 5. This is probably one of the most ridiculous things that I came across. And let me see if I can find it real quick, because it is not okay. What I ended up seeing was just not okay. The way that this douchebag went about it. It's kind of jacked up. The fact that he's actually saying what he's saying, let me see if I can find it. It should be here. Why can I not come across it, dude? It was all over this morning. This moron. You know what? Let me see if I can just find his profile, because I'm sure he posted on there like a moron, because he is a moron. I saw this and came across it this morning, and I was like, this is absolutely disgusting. This shouldn't be a thing. I don't like it. It pisses me off. Oh my God. He didn't even put it over here. People ripped it and threw it on their forum. Screw that. You guys are going to see this, because this is my problem with, how do I want to say this?
The time that America may not have prematurely ended the Gulf War.
Stop. This is my problem with TikTok. You know, I've been on TikTok for a very long time. I've got amassed 2 different accounts of 80 something thousand. Now I've got an account with around 60,000. And my issue over there is that when I'm talking about the different things that Israel is doing, I'm getting censored. My videos are getting taken down for misinformation. They're getting deleted. I'm getting hit with hate speech for doing all sorts of things. And yet this video exists. If I'm going to get hit with hate speech, I'm going to get hit with hate speech for standing up for Israel. How the F can this dude be able to put this crap out? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Where did it go? Dude, he had, like, no way. Come on. No. Maybe they took it down. Thank God. Let me see if I can get this sucker. But he basically came on and he was screaming about, I don't want to say this. Sorry, I can't multitask. He was saying that they deserved to get shot. He said that they were like complicit in the freaking, you know, Zionist crap that was taking place and the genocide and all this other stuff. And he was like, that should be the standard, and just all sorts of other garbage that he shouldn't have been saying about them in general, right? Those aren't direct quotes, but in general, that was like his 3-minute long freaking TikTok rant. And this dude's allowed to put crap like that out there, and they don't cancel his account. They allow him to stay going. It's one of the most appalling things I think I've ever freaking seen in my life. I saw it and I was like, dude, you gotta be freaking kidding me. Like there's no way this is allowed. I'm really hoping I can freaking find it, but it seems to have disappeared. I'm glad I didn't save it, because to be perfectly honest, I hate that guy. And I was really hoping to be able to show you, but yeah, it's jacked up, man. And that's my problem with TikTok. Like I'm all about free speech, but damn it, you better make it equal, like really, really equal. All right. Let's talk about Ukraine and Russia for a hot sec. Donald Trump just announced this, and I've got other articles coming at you that actually go over this. He said a major prisoner swap just completed between Russia and Ukraine. It will go into effect shortly. Congrats to both sides on this negotiation. Could this lead to something big? Truthfully, I don't think it will. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about why that's not going to lead to something big. I love Russia, or I'm sorry, Everybody makes mistakes when they speak live. Holy shit. I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth. I am so sorry. I love the fact that Russia and Ukraine were able to negotiate a prisoner swap. Wow. That's a good thing. 1,000 people are set to be released. This is a good thing. God, man, I need to wash my mouth out with buckshot after that. Russia, Ukraine each free 390 prisoners in the start of the war's biggest swap. You guys can see this is dated today. This is set to be the largest prisoner swap ever. Dude, yeah. And not with soap, man, with buckshot. It needs washed out with buckshot after that one. Yeah, that's really bad. You know, people are going to take that and cut it down now and be like, see, look at him. Look at him. I told you he does. No, kill those commie bastards. All right. The ones that invaded Ukraine. Yeah, they all deserve to die. All right. So 390 ended up getting released today, and everybody's pointing at this like it's a big deal. The agreement to exchange 1,000 prisoners each was the only concrete step towards peace to emerge last week from 2 hours of talks inside Istanbul. No kidding. Well, at least they agreed to swap people, because I'll tell you what Russia is asking for is absolutely ridiculous. Russian MOD ended up Russian MOD said each side had released 270 soldiers and 120 civilians on Friday. Zelensky confirmed the total 390 each and said more would be released on Saturday and Sunday. So by the end of Sunday, each side should have the 1,000 going back and forth, which is great that that's taking place. It doesn't mean that Ukraine has like slowed down or anything from going after him. We're going to cover that here in just a sec as well, because it most certainly did. You know what? Hell with it. Yeah, look at this sucker. That's a Russian ammunition depot. I know you want to see that again. Look at that. No, that wasn't a fraudulent slip, man. I just misspoke. It happens when you talk live. Stop. Stop with that, Chrissers, for the love of God. Convince me that that was a fraudulent slip, dude. That is so freaking nah, man. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can, no, because yeah, you know what? Screw it. Look, I didn't show you guys this yet. I don't really want to do it on live. Oh, it's cut, so I'm not going to do it. Yeah, if you guys can see up over here in the top left corner, ended up putting the Chosen Company flag up. It's like right next to the American one. And then when I get this other camera set up coming over in this way, you'll see that the Israeli flag is actually hanging up right over here. So I've kind of adjusted the studio a little bit. I like it. I like the way I have it set up. So yeah, everybody calm down. Not a Russian shill by any means, for the love of freaking God, people. Anyways, what's Russia asking for? Like, what do they want in return? Well, Russia's asking for some of the most ridiculous stuff. They're still saying that Ukraine needs to recognize Crimea and more territories inside of Ukraine. That's obviously not going to happen. CR, confirm Matt's a cuck for Russia. Just kidding. We all know the truth. Love from England. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's why I've got like a scope behind me that Nate Vance used to freaking... You guys see this? Right back. You guys want to see... Did I show you guys this yet? I don't think I did. Up over here on the shelf behind me. So Nate Vance ended up gifting this out to me, and it's pretty cool. This is actually the scope that he was using on his service rifle over inside of Ukraine to kill Russians with. I absolutely love it. I think it is probably one of the coolest things ever. I am extremely honored that Nate actually ended up giving this to me. Something else cool that he ended up giving me as well. Was some of the different hardware that ended up coming off of his rifle. So this is the hardware that ended up coming off. As you guys can see, this is like the handguard that ended up coming off the front portion. And then he also ended up giving me his collapsible buttstock, which is really cool. So I can't tell you how freaking awesome this is. Yeah, no, this is pretty cool. So this is the butt plate or the buttstock that he had to go along with everything. So now I gotta go put it back because I don't like having it out like that, because it's quite literally a piece of history now, and I don't want this piece of history to fall on the floor. It needs to be taken care of. And then while we're at it, just because a little bit of show and tell time, let me undo it. For those of you guys that didn't know, I'm really curious to see, who knows what this is? I'm about to hold it up for you. I just pulled it off the shelf. Anybody have an idea of what this is right here? Maybe this camera will be a little bit better for it. Let me switch over here. Anybody know what this is? Anybody at all? Oh, come on. Don't do that to me. Anybody? Can we guess what this is? Down in the chat. Anybody at all? No? No ideas? No ideas at all. Nobody at all knows what this is. Come on. You guys got this. I believe you. You guys can do this. Come on. It's metal. It is metal. You're correct. This is actually a firearm. Believe it or not. It is a poison pen. Maybe if I hold it up with the contrast to my face. This is actually a firearm. It is a pen gun pick. You nailed it. This is a pen gun. If you unscrew it here, and you place a 22 shell, 22 LR in there, just put it in, you end up screwing this back down on top of it, like so. And it actually has a safety that's built into it. And then it also fires by simply taking this. And I don't like dry firing it. So you guys, this is the one time I'm ever going to do it. But all you have to do in order to make this thing fire is literally push this little knob over here to the side. And that ends up causing it to fire. which is really cool. Yeah, it's a pen gun. History of these things actually date back to OSS World War II. Ended up liking to use these, ended up developing them, take them kind of with them over there. It's freaking rad. Probably one of the other cool things that you guys don't even know that I have sitting on this desk that I ended up finding a couple months ago. Don't ask me why I'm getting into show and tell right now, just because I'm proud of all the stuff that I ended up having up over here. This is probably one of the coolest things I ended up finding in some of my travels in the last couple months. This, let me see if I can get this sucker up here. I want to make sure I get his name right. Ambassador Philip Crow. Ambassador Philip K. Crow. I had to look this guy up. He's actually an extreme badass. So this was given to him by the Maharaja of Indore, which I ended up looking up. And I was like, who the hell is Philip Crow? And why does he have such a cool gift? Right? And so I looked him up. This is his like old school freaking pen. Like it's actually got like the little ink thing on it and all that other crap for you to put the ink. And it still has like the original pen that ended up coming with it. So I looked up Mr. Philip Crow, that ambassador. Turns out he was also a member of the OSS. And then when he ended up getting out of the service, he got appointed as an ambassador. And then for some reason, every little country that he ended up going to, there happened to be some sort of issue going on. For those that don't know, the OSS was kind of like the precursor to the CIA and the Green Berets. And so when you had these OSS guys that were being ambassadors to other countries, that again, the ambassador positions appointed by the president, and then you see other odd things that are happening inside of that country, you can only imagine the type of crap that that gentleman was doing. I thought it was really cool. I love it. So I have taken, I have bought it and I have taken it. I love it. I don't know. It's really cool. He ended up shooting a freaking 8-foot long, like female tiger or something. It's ridiculous. It got given to him for like killing a tiger. Pretty awesome. I love it. I think it's cool. All right. So we should probably get back to talking about everything that we were talking about. Let's talk about starvation in Gaza for a hot minute. Let's do that. Let's talk about starvation in Gaza. This ended up getting published by Reuters, what I'm about to put up on your screen here. And it's going to play. And what you're going to see is down here at the bottom. So Reuters, 5 hours ago, Palestinians and communists unloaded flour from one of the first aid trucks meant to supply bakeries. Israel allowed in 100 aid trucks, blah, 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 blah. I told you guys that aid trucks were flowing into Gaza. They're greatly going to resume on Sunday, right? Watch this. Anybody notice anything going on in this video? All right, I see, before I break this sucker down for you, I see Army Lurs came in gifting out 10 Speak the Truth memberships. Greatly appreciate you, brother. And I can't tell if you did like two different things of 20. I don't know, man, but greatly appreciate you for knocking that out. Then we go down a little bit more. Fox McCloud, when I asked about 100% drop that, he just dropped money and said 100,000%. Sweck, true supporter of 7 months now. So pretty excited to have you on board. Patrick Loudon came in gifting out 5. And then Fox McCloud says, I thought it was a Colombian booger sugar straw. No, it is not a booger sugar straw. I don't do booger sugars. That's not my thing at all. So yeah, let's talk about this video. Right. As you can see, like right at the opening freaking scene, you have an armed militant and they're taking over all of the freaking flour and stuff that's on these trucks. Right. Like I can mute the video and just let it play throughout the video. And you end up hearing gunshots. Stuff fell down. That's what happens when I screw up the shelf. You end up hearing gunshots and several other things. There you go. This guy right here just cranked another round off. So there's another armed militant with appears to be like a mask on his face. We have seen Hamas launching these different attacks from inside of the Gaza Strip, inside the Gaza Strip from humanitarian aid places for a really long time now. And this, again, goes to confirm that Hamas is stealing the humanitarian aid. In my opinion, they're not just stealing humanitarian aid. They're also searching for different things that might be getting smuggled into them. Multiple rockets got shot at Israel yesterday. You know, it's funny that they don't have food, but after, you know, what is it, like 400 plus days of fighting, 500 plus days of fighting, they still have rockets and they still have propellant and they still have all of those things. It is absurd to me that people do not understand that all of that is getting smuggled in. And when you look at the mass amount of things that are actually crossing the border and where they're coming from, i.e. humanitarian aid, that is the most likely culprit of where it's getting smuggled in from, especially when Hamas makes damn sure to go over and take control of it the moment it comes in. It's freaking nuts. But even though they're doing that, how do the markets look, right? How do the markets look? Because we know everybody over inside Gaza is starving. Well, the markets actually don't look that bad. This video got published, I want to say it was 2 days ago, inside of one of the markets over there. Looks pretty rough, huh? Well, what this guy is actually complaining about, and the reason he's taking this video, is he's complaining about the cost of food inside of the market. So while they're filled, the costs have skyrocketed because Hamas is taking control of it. Number one, why is humanitarian aid being sold in the first place? Good question, right? Your taxpayer dollars go to getting humanitarian aid over there, and they end up, I don't know, selling it at inflated prices. Why? Because Hamas is trying to make money because they've got to wage war. Aid for sale. Yeah, you freaking nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Sleep your mama's slap your mama's seasoning. All arms coming from Egypt, even those recent August rifles. Yeah, I mean, those rifles that they ended up intercepting were kind of a big deal, in my opinion. And it goes to show that the blockade that Israel had put in place was actually working, right? By locking down the Philadelphia corridor, they're able to effectively stop the arms, like smuggling, going into Gaza. But my question is, prior to that, how the hell is it, because the Egyptian military is like stacked up on the border over inside of the Sinai Peninsula, how the hell is it that they weren't able to catch all this stuff? Why weren't they stopping it? And I think the real answer ends up boiling down probably likely because they were complicit. You don't move that amount of product without somebody there knowing. You just don't, right? It's just impossible. And so either they were extremely negligent in their job, in which case it's on them, and they were being complicit because they chose to be negligent, or they were 100% complicit in getting paid off. And I don't think it is because that they were being negligent in your job, because you're dealing with smugglers, right? Sure, there's going to be some bad people here and there, but for the most part, they're just moving products. And so it's not like they're going to be the most violent individuals towards them. Maybe they threaten their families, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but they're still going to end up taking payouts. BBG coming in, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Thank you, brother. Yeah, so the market's plenty of food, right? When we go and we look at them, plenty of food going on. They're just overinflated. Now, U.S. contractors on Sunday are scheduled to start taking control of all of the humanitarian aid, and they're going to also be responsible for the distribution. So here is the wild part about all of this, is that it's possible starting on Sunday that we're going to start seeing gunfights between U.S. contractors and Hamas trying to steal the humanitarian aid. Boy, oh boy, is that going to be a huge mistake for them. James Lewis coming in, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships, followed by Dylan Dunker, baby. Yeah, thank you, brother. Yeah, it's going to be a big freaking problem when all that ends up happening. Flour sacks are allegedly going. So one sack of flour now, and you can see the World Food Program is clearly stamped on the bag when I put this up on your screen, are going for reportedly 1,450 shekels. 1,450 shekels. That's a pretty appalling thing when you ask me. There you go. There you can see it. There you see it. It's freaking nuts that it's going for that much and that they're like literally selling it on the streets. And if my conversion rate is correct, in case you guys are curious, 1,450 Israeli shekels is equivalent to about 400 US dollars. So think about that. You got a bag of freaking wheat flour from the World Food Program going for around 400 bucks. People from Israel, am I right here? 1,450 shekels, around 400 US dollars. That's a buttload of money for a freaking bag of flour. And I highly doubt anybody inside Gaza has got the ability to pay for it. And so that's probably the reason that that market, maybe, you know, if we're going to be intellectually honest here, maybe that's the reason the market looks so full, because it's around $400. I see people from Israel are watching. Yep. Confirm $400. Yeah. 400. Yeah, dude, that's freaking nuts. So 400 bucks for a bag of flour for them to be able to get. Is it whole wheat? Dude, I have no idea. It's probably organic. Like, knowing how like governments waste money, they probably sent them organic flour or some crap. Who knows? But either way, dude, it is not going to command a freaking $400 price tag, which is absolutely nuts, especially when they're not paying to get it in there in the first place. They're just stealing it and then turning around and selling it. So that's also probably one of the reasons why you see so much food like popping up in those markets, right? And so if I'm going to tell you one side, I'm also going to tell you the other. Is there food in there? Yeah. Can people afford it? No. And we're, again, seeing those mass uprisings. Now, the interesting part about Gaza over this last week, what I've noticed is when Israel first launched Gideon's Chariot, we saw a buttload of videos coming out of Gaza. Recently, within the last like 48 hours, it appears like a lot of that has been shut off. I'm able to find a video here or there of some airstrikes, but everything that's taking place inside Gaza went a little bit silent. I've heard that over inside of Jabalia, that there has been some military movement. I saw reports of Israel detonating what do you want to call it? A suicide APC, basically, or a vehicle-borne IED that they built onto an APC that has been reported in the past. It ended up getting reported last year down inside Rafah. I haven't seen any confirmation of that whatsoever, though. Dylan Dunker coming in, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. It seems like the only actual information coming out of Gaza, unless we just go straight to the IDF and we check with them, it seems like really the only information that's coming out of Gaza is coming from like really far, like left-leaning pro-Palestinian accounts. I actually didn't even think about checking to see whether or not the IDF updated any of their reports this morning before I came in here. So I'm going to go over and check on that. Yeah, they did. They just dropped one 11 minutes ago. They said a short while ago, sirens sounded in southern Israel following a projectile fired by terrorists from Gaza. So they're still shooting rockets out this morning. Great. Great. Continuing to shoot rockets. This was a warning that ended up getting hit with Israel yesterday. If you guys can see that, it was all the way up over in there in the Tel Aviv area. We're talking about ballistic missiles that ended up getting fired by the Houthis. All right. And again, Israel ended up having to intercept those, which leads me to my next point, which is what the hell is going to happen today? Because right now, all right, the United States is engaging with more nuclear negotiations with Iran. And this to me is one of the bigger deals. Like why I love reporting on like the ground truth of what's going on over there. This is a big deal. All right. These nuclear talks are a big deal. Over the last week, the Ayatollah has been going to town screaming how they're not going to stop enriching uranium. Yesterday, I was shocked to hear that we actually had a freaking another round of talks. This is going to be the fifth round of talks for the US and Iran. And they're currently ongoing from what I know. All right. They held talks over inside of Rome. They were being negotiated allegedly. How do I want to say this? I want to say it was people from UAE. It doesn't even freaking matter. Look, Trump ended up sending a letter to Khamenei on March 5th, letting him know. He said, I have written them a letter saying, I hope you are going to negotiate because if we have to go militarily, it's going to be a terrible thing. And this is what we continue to hear from the White House. But Khamenei is not bending. Yeah, I see people saying waste of time, and I totally agree with you, but for some reason, it's like we're stalling this out, and I don't know why. Khamenei's not bending at all, like, at all, on this entire deal. Trump and his team seem to think that they're getting closer and closer, but it's weird, because what we're hearing out of the White House versus what's coming out of Iran are two entirely different things. And this coming from supposedly self-described as a very transparent administration. Well, if we're going to be transparent with the American people, we need to be honest with the American people when it goes down to Iran, especially when we're talking about, Iran getting a nuclear weapon. I watched somebody compare this to North Korea the other day saying that, look, even with North Korea, we had an agreement to where we could go in and we can inspect their nuclear program anytime we wanted. And the thing is that the U.S. is okay. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said that they are okay with a peaceful civil nuclear energy program, but they're still not allowed to enrich uranium. And he's supposed to be one of the more like left-leaning on the subject, trying to avoid war type stuff, allegedly. So I've heard. But even then he says you're not allowed to enrich uranium. You got to import it like everybody else. And so like the message across the Trump admin has been very clear, which is, you're not going to be allowed to do that. And Khamenei has been very clear. We are going to enrich uranium. And if they are going to try to make us, you know, stop enriching, it's not going to lead anywhere. So why are they even taking part in it? Well, the idea is allegedly right? The idea is, allegedly, is that Iran wants some of these sanctions kind of lifted off of them. And so Trump is attempting to use the economy and sanctions in order to make it happen. Sell me this pen, says Tom. Tom, I will not sell you that pen because it's not serialized and I made it. And that's what makes it legal for me to own here inside the United States. But if I didn't make it, and if I want to go sell it, then I'm going to have to register it. And then I would have to put a serial number on it. And then I'd have to get you a background check and everything else. Welcome to the law, ladies and gentlemen. You should probably learn how it works. And I have to state that openly over here on this channel because, you know, yeah, it's, I don't know. Why does Iran's nuclear program worry the West? Seriously, do we even have to put this in an article? U.S. intelligence agencies assess that Iran has yet to begin a weapons program, but it has undertaken activities that better position it to produce a nuclear device if it chooses to do so. I completely and totally disagree with that statement. I think Iran has definitely started to develop a nuclear weapons program. As a matter of fact, the Ayatollah, in one of his tweets that he came out with earlier this week, because now we're just tweeting policies out international, especially when it comes down to nuclear warfare, Ayatollah had said that they're going to continue to develop their weapons program. And this is after, this is in context, him talking about the United States providing weapons to Israel, the United States, you know, using their power and strength. And what he actually said was, we're going to continue to develop our strength inside of this country. And so they're not giving it up. They did say, allegedly, that they were willing to give up all of their 60% enriched uranium in return for allowing them to keep their frickin' centrifuges online, and that they would not be enriching beyond 3.67% or some crap, and that they were going to be open to allow the inspections and all that other crap going in. The problem is that Iran hasn't been abiding by the NPT that they're signatory to, and we don't even know where all their nuclear facilities are, at least publicly stated. Last time the IAEA went in there, they ended up finding two sites that Iran hadn't disclosed, or what they believed to be two different sites, because it had the remnants, all right, of like enriched uranium and all that other crap going on that they weren't supposed to be doing at an undeclared location. And so the U.S. can't trust Iran to enrich uranium, and neither can Israel. And I think the real question is, I played this clip last night from the White House. Let me see if I can grab it real quick. Because the more I listen to it, the more I kind of get like a different take on it. Let me see if I can grab that clip. Here we go. I want you guys to listen to this. Hopefully it's the right one as it opens up. I want you guys to listen to this. I played this last night. This came out yesterday, obviously.
Spoke to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today. They had a productive discussion. They discussed many things, including, of course, the tragic shooting that took place here in Washington, D.C. last night. But they also did talk about a potential deal with Iran, which the president believes is moving along in the right direction. And as the president told me, and he's told all of you, this deal with Iran could end in two ways. It could end in a very positive diplomatic solution, or it could end in a very negative situation for Iran. So
they're sticking to the same message. This can end in a very negative situation for Iran. Wholeheartedly agree. Not only could it should. At this point, it absolutely should. But she also said that they were talking with Netanyahu. Listen to this again, because she's talking about a deal with Iran and that they're keeping Netanyahu in the loop.
Spoke to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today. They had a productive discussion. They discussed many things, including, of course, the tragic shooting that took place here in Washington, D.C. last night. But they also did talk about a potential deal with Iran, which the president believes.
But they also did talk about a possible deal with Iran. And so this is huge. Like, that little line to me is pretty big. Because it means, like, even though Netanyahu had ended up reaching out about the two people that ended up getting killed over inside of DC, all right? But he also, like, Netanyahu also talked to Trump about this Iranian deal with everything that's going on. Israel has ramped up strikes over inside Lebanon, and the Houthis have fired a buttload of ballistic missiles at them over the last week. I want to say it's six. I've got it coming up here in a sec. So six ballistic missiles that the Houthis ended up firing Israel over the last week. This is after... right? U.S. aircraft carriers are out of the Red Sea. And so Israel, number one, I would expect to have a massive strike coming up on the Houthis again. We ended up seeing a weapons explosion inside of Yemen, which was pretty freaking wild. And I think, honestly, if I want to be honest about this, I actually ended up putting this out yesterday. And I said, I just want to thank, what's going on over here? Why are you being this way? Why are you being this way? Stop being this way. I actually put this out yesterday, and personally, I think that the result of this, all right, so a Houthi missile cache randomly blew up when they went to go launch it. So Houthi missile cache ends up blowing up when they go to go launch it. Now, we ended up intercepting a large amount just the other week, not we, international community, ended up intercepting a large amount, a large shipment of explosives and things like that that were on their way to go down to the Houthis over inside Yemen. All right, the IRGC was still sending it. We know they're sending it. All of that stuff's still going. This is the remnants. This is the after effects of those ballistic missiles going off, allegedly that they were preparing to fire at Israel. It started getting reported around the same time that the Houthis saying that they're shooting shit at Israel. All right, so this sucker ends up blowing up. Now, I know that Mossad is in pretty deep in a lot of different places. I know the U.S. intelligence is as well. I know we've got different assets all around the region. I try to think of the name of the program. I can't remember it. But back during Vietnam, and this is D-class, by the way, so I'm just throwing that out there. Back during Vietnam, we used to take weapons and we used to plant them in locations that enemies would pick them up. And they would damage the firearms, they would blow up, they would do all sorts of things. And so if a coalition, if somebody ended up intercepting things that were being shipped over to the Houthis, and or if an intelligence asset of Mossad over inside of Iran, where these things are being produced and before they end up getting shipped out, is able to intercept these things and toy with them, it is very possible that some of these components were messed with in order to make these ballistic missiles detonate when the Houthis go to fire them at Israel, which would be pretty cool. I'm not aware of ballistic missile technology. It's not exactly my skill set. Never claimed it was, but I got a feeling that that is likely what we're seeing happen over inside of there. Because Israel's, I mean, yeah, they conducted their airstrikes and whatnot on Yemen. Ended up bombing the crap out of the airport and the ports and everything else, but the Houthis are continuing to fire ballistic missiles. Israel, for some reason, hasn't responded yet. It makes me wonder if it's because of the war inside Gaza and that they're too concerned with taking too many of their aircraft online to go and bomb Yemen right now, as they are waiting on these like nuclear negotiations to take place with Iran. Because if those fail, the Ayatollah already came out and said, listen, if you attack us, we will attack back. Like, it's not a question. Ayatollah like vowed to retaliate if they end up getting attacked. And so I think what's happening is it's that close. The fact that Israel hasn't retaliated against them over this last week with the amount of ballistic missiles and stuff tells me that, like, just trying to critically think, I would believe, all right, that Israel is kind of like sitting back and waiting on all of this crap to like happen, right? I think they're waiting on the negotiations and whatnot to fail, or bombing, or they're on standby. They're just waiting. Otherwise, they would have bombed the living freaking crap out of them already. We also have the B-52s that are over in Diego Garcia, right? We had 6 B-2s and they got replaced with B-52s down in Diego Garcia. They also moved in F-18 AE Strike Eagles down into Diego Garcia in order to defend it. What would the United States be worried about defending from all the way down in Diego Garcia? Well, it was rumored, right, that Iran was potentially going to launch strikes on Diego Garcia in preparation for U.S. strikes attacking Iran. Tom Bones, if I was president, it would already be raining. It would be raining still inside of Iran. Yeah. Somebody had talked to me and I had said this, you know, somebody had asked me the question the other day of if this takes place, if we end up conducting a strike on Iran, what is that going to look like? Right? Like what time of day, maybe everything else. And I said, listen, they've got 60% enriched uranium. And this was when I was discussing it with Nate Vance. Like they've got 60% enriched uranium. So if we go and we start dropping freaking bombs and end up striking this enriched uranium, it is going to create a massive issue. Now, you can stand around it, radiation, you're going to be okay. Right? But the deal is when you blow it up with a flipping bomb and it turns it into dust particles and you start breathing that in, all of those rays are now emanating from inside of your body, and that causes serious, serious health issues, talking about like cancer and death and all of that other crap. And so it's not that like just blowing it up and it being laying on the ground is the big issue. It's blowing it up and it going into the different dust particles and things that people are going to be breathing in that causes that huge concern. And I want to make that perfectly clear. All right. Like you're talking that's like the idea of essentially a dirty bomb to the best of my knowledge. Is that's how that works. It works the same way when we end up blowing the crap up. Is it going to result in a nuclear explosion? No, it's not. It's something that scientists had to sit down and figure out how to time. Like, that's a whole other ballgame if you guys want to talk about that. But would it result in a like absolute health crisis over there? For dang sure. But they're also buried deep underneath the ground. And I am way outside of my realm hill when it goes into talking about it. But the idea is that you want to collapse and keep that shit down inside of the earth if that's where it's at. And so these bunker busters and everything else are kind of a big deal when it goes into it. And we just don't want to fling that crap into the sky. And I think that is probably one of the reasons why we don't want, I don't want to say this, that we don't want to be bombing them right away because it would cause a huge health issue. I don't know. Your food is giving you cancer, says Meathead. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Yeah, food's giving you cancer. So just stop eating food. Problem solved, right? Starve cancer. That's, yeah, feed a cold, starve cancer. I don't know, man. Listen, Harvard, Kristi Noem, this is what she ends up coming back. And so that's all I'm going to touch base on Iran. I think as far as these go, obviously, I don't see the nuclear negotiations going anywhere with Iran today. That's going to fall through. Over the weekend, historically, it has been random times that Israel likes to attack things, random times that the United States likes to do things, also random times that Iran likes to do things. So we could see a strike coming up in the next couple of days because, again, it's failing. Michael Mayo says, if the U.S. distributes food aid in Gaza, what are the chances that we end up with either another Somalia where ROE restrictions kill troops or a drone strike that ends up killing a bunch of civilians? Well, number one, I would caution any report talking about drone strikes randomly killing civilians, right? Even the situation that took place over inside of Iraq where we had the Blackwater contractors that ended up getting thrown in jail. Trump ended up pardoning them on their way out. That whole situation, you know, I'm not going to dime the guy out, but he ended up getting a pardon by Trump and had a conversation with him about it. And it seems like that was a really poor diplomatic solution for what took place. And I say that for a reason, right? Because when you talk about that stuff taking place over inside Gaza, there's already a bad enough propaganda campaign that's going out from the Palestinians. As far as ROEs are concerned, they're going to be dealing with Israel on that one. They don't have to answer. It's kind of a weird thing. And I don't know the different contracts. I don't know the details of how all that was set up. But they'd be dealing with Israel on that one. And they're also not subject. It's this whole other legal ballgame that's really annoying. But the U.S. would hold them accountable at the same time. So I don't see them just going out willy-nillingly, like trying to massacre civilians. But what I do see is gunfights that are going to take place between these U.S. contractors and Hamas. Casualties likely will come out of it, right? It just happens. You exchange enough gunfire, people get shot. As far as drones go, I'm not too concerned about it, to be honest with you. I actually think it would be a good thing because it'll actually teach Hamas to back the hell off. You know, these U.S. contractors are not going to be the exact same as the IDF when it comes down to fighting inside the Gaza Strip. You know, talk about like clearance for freaking air to ground munitions on a couple of these different things. You guys, you got to understand some of these contracting companies have fast movers. I don't know if you're aware of that. Some of these contracting companies have fast movers, have helicopters, have attack helicopters. They got all sorts of shit, right? And so dude, even if it's just a helicopter coming over and pouring down with a freaking minigun, I think that'll wake up Hamas pretty freaking quick. I don't know. I look forward to it to see what ends up happening with it. I hope that the U.S. contractors put up a really good fight and kick their poop in, because that's what needs to happen, because Hamas is going to come after and try to steal that aid. Harvard, like I said earlier, they ended up getting cut off. This is the memo from the Department of Homeland Security that told them, you know, you guys are screwed, right? You can see on this backside over here that it did get signed by Kristi Noem. She gave them 72 hours in order to comply. So they ended up scrapping the student visa program before Harvard. It's gone, right? It's done with. All right. So all of those students are going to, anybody that's on that foreign exchange program or they're on student visas is going to have to find a new college willing to take them in. I don't even think they get to complete whatever, you know, they have left over at Harvard. When you look into it, what exactly they're asking for here at the end, they're saying you have 72 hours to comply or else next year is basically off the table for you as well. And that all of those students are going to have to find a new home, which is awesome. Larry coming in, gifting out 10 Speak the Truth memberships. Here's what they said. Whether records, and this is the same language that goes throughout it, all records, whether official, informal, in the possession of Harvard University, including electronic records and or audio or video footage regarding, and then it ends up going at the end, this is how they close out, by non-immigrant students enrolled in Harvard University in the last 5 years. This is what they've been asking for that they're saying that they didn't comply with. and they want it now within the next 72 hours. They want illegal activity, whether on or off campus, right? They want to see any of Harvard's records for dangerous or violent activity, whether on or off campus, threats to other students or university personnel, whether on or off campus, regarding deprivation of rights of other classmates on university personnel, whether on or off campus, which we know has taken place. Any and all disciplinary records of all non-immigrant students enrolled at Harvard University over the last 5 years, and any and all video footage in the possession of Harvard of any protest activity involving non-immigrant students on Harvard over the last 5 years. The United States government's not playing with this anymore. They're not. All of these pro-Palestinian protests that ended up popping up on like different college campuses in the last like 30 plus days, and I'm getting crushed really quick by either university police, local police, federal agents, have all gone in and like shut these things down. And they've been making arrests, which is a huge change from last year. All right. And when I said that you have to have a victim in order to make like the enforcement thing happen, right? So the deal is these public universities, all right, and the private universities were basically refusing to press charges against anybody, refusing to have the cops come in and actually enforce the law. They were just not letting them do it. And so these protesters were going crazy until eventually things turned so violent in some cases that the state had to step in and say, you know what, screw this, we're shutting it down. Now we're seeing it actually going through. We're seeing people get arrested. And the reason we're seeing people get arrested is because of this. The amount of money that these colleges are going to lose is insane. Again, 25% of the freshman class, a little more than 25% of the freshman class. As a huge number of people on student visas that are all now going to have to go find a brand new home. They're going to go somewhere else. And so now it's on Harvard to get their act together. And I haven't heard yet. I'm hoping to find more on this today, if they're actually going to comply, because if they do, you better believe that a lot of those students are going to end up getting deported. And it goes right back. This action that they're taking by making this stance, as far as I'm concerned, is the exact same. And I'm talking about Harvard. By not turning this information over, is the exact same that that judge, right, that got charged and thrown in freaking jail and indicted for helping that illegal immigrant get past ICE, aiding and abetting in his escape. It's the exact same crap. And people have been getting away with it for so long. And it's a high time that we end up cracking down on these mofos, because it's causing freaking issues. Here is Kristi Noem actually talking about it.
As you mentioned, 18% of Harvard's freshman class this year are foreign. They're foreigners here on student visas. What happens? Where do they go now? What do they do?
Yeah, we have given Harvard multiple opportunities to give us the documentation that we've requested to conduct oversight. We've asked them for the backgrounds on students that attend their university, their criminal activity on campus, off of campus. Any video or audio footage they have of this violent activity and they have just simply not complied. This is something that they need to do in order to comply with this program as it was established. And so, unfortunately, all of their foreign students will face the consequences of Harvard's lack of protecting the individuals that go there. So 27% of their students are foreign students, and they will have to find some other university to go to, and hopefully they find one that cares about them and provides a safe environment.
You know, I'm when I first like saw Kristi Noem was going into this position, like head of DHS, I was very skeptical, especially when she just started showing up on raids, dressing up, holding guns, like all of that crap nobody cares about. Like you can get rid of the propaganda shit. What the American people want to see is action. And so here, at least, I feel like Kristi Noem is doing a good job. I could care less about the different PR stunts. I could care less about you standing there. I could care less about you showing deportations and everything else. I could care less. What I want to see is stuff like this, like actual action. This is where she belongs, like directing policy and making sure things are actually happening. That is important to me. And so with that, I'm kind of a fan. I've talked to you guys before about the border issues and why I think that that's a problem, and that I have a guest that's coming up here next month that's going to be on the show to talk to you guys about how just ridiculously unsecure the border still is. And it's happening in different states, right? She was down on the border over inside California, ended up seeing a lot of issues down on the border over there. So we're going to have a great discussion on that, about how much more security actually needs added to the border. So Kristi Noem, like, while I appreciate her, And taking care of this, I do expect to see more actions ramped up on the freaking border with everything that's going on, because the border is still not secure. We've moved a buttload of troops in. I got a checkup on, them asking, DHS asked for, like, I think it was like 40,000 additional, National Guard troops in order to help with like deportations and arrests and all that other crap. And so Texas ended up offering up to 40,000. I need to check up and make sure that those freaking troops are still on their way over there, because that's a huge issue within itself. But let's talk, let's get back into it. Student visas being revoked.
Well, the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, has revoked thousands of student visas from campuses where these pro-Hamas terrorist campus agitators and violent protests took place. And we've also withheld funding from those very campuses as well in an effort to combat anti-Semitism. So the president's made it very clear that such hatred will have no place in our country.
They already revoked a buttload of student visas, and this is likely why Harvard's been hiding it and they don't want it to go out, because of all those student visas and everything being revoked. I wish I can make some of this stuff up, but I absolutely can't. It just is what it is. Let me see if I can open this up for you. What this appears to be, I'm not going to get in on that. I'm not going to do it. Because this, to me, as far as I'm concerned, let me see if I can actually open this up. That's old. I'm not doing that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's a very busy day for me. Not going to lie. It's the last day of school for most people in the United States of America. It's my kid's last day of school. I got a bunch of stuff that I want to crush in order to get out, go play basketball and do things like that with them before the school day is back, after the school day ends. So I want to get a bunch of work done. I love you guys. I appreciate every single one of you that ended up coming in the stream. You guys, make sure your notifications are turned on. Some people just are not getting it. They're not getting their notifications. They're complaining about it. They're relying on Discord. Discord's not helping them. Michael Mayo, it's not undergrads. It is the graduate students. U.S. universities charge full fare to foreign grad students willing to pay for access to the U.S. job market. It's Harvard in the pocketbook. Oh, dude, yeah. Wow. That's good to know. That's good to know. That's interesting. That's really interesting, as a matter of fact. So, a judge struck this down within 10 minutes, non-issue. No, it's actually, things ended up getting struck down and then judges ended up like turning around and reopening things. As far as like the immigration crap goes, it seems like every other day I see things going back and forth and back and forth. And when the judges end up denying it or go against Trump's policy, what you end up seeing is you end up seeing, those decisions being reversed by another judge like a week or 2 weeks later. And so if that did happen, I'll look into that. If that did happen, I would expect in the next couple of weeks for a different judge to go around and turn around. Issue is, and that a lot of people are complaining about, is what we're seeing is a crossover between powers that are supposed to be divided. Executive branch powers versus judicial powers. And the executive branch is doing things based on executive powers, right? And so the judicial branch should be like interpreting law, all right? Executive power is totally different. And so if they're operating underneath the confines of what they're allowed to do under the executive branch, well, people are getting pissed off because federal judges are basically now trying to act as the executive branch. And that's not okay. I do believe in the separation of powers that this country has. It's what kept us in check for so long. It's not a perfect system, but it's a decent system. I don't think the criminal justice system is perfect, but it's decent, right? At least it's working for the most part. It's fallen way out. I think we need to fix it, but at least it's kind of working. Right? Dylan Dunker sending over 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Appreciate you. When we're at the point that like 98% of people that end up getting arrested end up taking plea deals, I think we got an issue. Because now you're not even being charged basically with like, and you're not doing any time. We've got rapists, we've got murders, we've got freaking people that kidnap folks, we've got domestic violence, we've got all of these other things that are happening, like all of these actual violent criminals that end up getting plea deals and never seeing a day behind bars minus what they originally spent when they got hooked. That's an issue. I think a lot of these things need readjusted. More on Deep Space Nine was a character based on Norm. What are you guys talking about in the chat, man? Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday. I'm going to have a video coming out for you this evening. So look forward to that. Looking forward to any developments. Make sure everything's turned on because it's possible that these, US goes over and it starts attacking Iran. I think it's at that point. I don't know how much longer we're going to give them. Trump administration has been very clear on it. I think the biggest news that's going to come out probably next week is going to be what the hell we're going to do with Iran. Because the Houthis are shooting a lot of ballistic missiles at at Israel, and they're not going to take that for much longer. U.S. said, we're going to hold Iran responsible. We've got another negotiation. You guys know the deal. So let's see what happens. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless.